Dan Shulman, as I said, of Sportsnet and ESPN, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Mr. Shulman.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I'm tired of watching this baseball. I got to admit. And yeah. Look, and God, I covered the Expos for 11 years. So believe me, I've seen...
You've had your chain yanked a fair
bit. Chain yanked a fair bit. You might say that. But man, you know what? This is a hard team to watch when it's not playing well. And Dan, I think you know what I mean, because there are teams that just are awful to watch when they're not playing well.
Yeah, and it's not like they're playing okay. They're playing poorly. I mean, they're not playing a bit below expectations. They're playing significantly below expectations. And you know, the only way to look at the glass is half full is they're 19-22 and not, you know, 14-27 or something. Because they, if they just play okay, not even great, you could easily go back through the schedule and find five games that they could have won. Easily go back and find five games that they could have won. If, you know, even if Storen is good instead of the current Storen, they probably have won three or four more games. If Tulowitzki, if Martin, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm with you. It is frustrating to watch. You go back to the last road trip, and they went 3-3. They could have gone 6-0. I mean, they lost in 13 innings to the Giants. They lost in extra innings to Texas. And then they lost on the Brawl game when Chavez gave up the home run, and that turned that game around. And now, I know fans always look at the games they could have won that they've lost instead of looked at the games that they could have lost that they won. But, man, it seems like they've lost more winnable games than anything. And you know, one big difference, and I think we're getting to the point of the season where we start talking about that. If somebody breaks away from the pack in the American League East last year, I don't know if Alex Anthopoulos makes the trades. There are a couple of teams playing pretty well right now in the division, and general managers and presidents are not likely to make big trades for the chance of getting into a one-game wild card playoff. If you're going to give up prospects and make your team better, it's to try to win a division most of the time. And the Blue Jays can't afford to fall too far behind.
Well, and again, I think if we're getting into that conversation, Dan, it's going to be – I'm not sure what assets they have to deal.
Exactly.
That's the other thing.
You wrote about that today. I mean, they emptied the cupboard last year, and, you know, now they're paying the piper, I think is the phrase that you used in your column. Like, and you know, people – ask me, and I'm sure they do, you guys all the time as well. You know, they got to do something. What is there to do? They need the guys they've got to play better. That's what has to happen for
them. What about that kind of, you know, I know baseball, long season, you have to have perspective sometimes. Teams go through dips, but Jeff, you'd feel the same way too, I'm sure. You cover enough seasons of baseball, there are times when things just go sour and you kind of feel like you're coming up to kind of a crisis point for a team, and it's the way the guys approach the game. It's the way they look in the dugout. A bunch of stuff I don't generally believe in. You know, the kind of intangibles. But this team has a funk about it right now.
Yeah.
That I kind of wonder if we're coming up to some kind of a crisis point here, Dave.
You know, I think winning, and this is the chicken and egg thing. You know, does chemistry lead to winning? Does winning lead to chemistry and that sort of thing? Like last year, in the last 2 months, if somebody had said to you, "What's the vibe around the team?"
Oh, happiest guys in the world,
exactly.
Right? Yeah, everybody loves everybody, man.
It wouldn't have been that happy if they finished 81-81 and 9 games out of the playoffs. You know, so it's a difficult conversation because there's no doubt there's a chicken and egg aspect to it. But you're exactly right. The coming out of camp, there was a ton of confidence about this team.
Yes.
But I thought there was just a whiff of, well, it's going to happen because we're that good. And that's not the way baseball works. Baseball has bitten players and teams in the butt for 150 years. Just when you think you got it figured out, it's like there's you peek behind the curtain and baseball says, gotcha, right?
Mm-hmm.
And more than other sports. And I don't know if in spring there wasn't enough diligence or prep, I have no idea. You know, only the players and the coaches and the manager and the staff can say that. But to me, it felt a little bit like, hey, we got this, but it's not that simple. And, you know, everybody starts at zero in the next season. The mystifying part is the offense. I mean, if you look at 1 through 9, the 9 regulars, you know, Saunders is having a good year. Pilar is having a good year. Smoke is having a good year. You've got 6 of the 9 spots in the batting order that are underachieving, and in some cases significantly underachieving, just their average season. And, you know, to overcome that, everything else needs to go right. And the bullpen hasn't been right, and over the last 3 days, the rotation hasn't been right. The only answer for this team is the guy's got to hit better, and the bullpen has to do better. That's the only way they win.
You know, Dan, you talked about this team coming out of spring training, and one of the things that I felt, one of the things I said, one of the things I wrote, and it's not, you know, it's probably not, Jays fans probably didn't want to hear it, But I was of the opinion that, you know, yeah, it'd be great if Jose Bautista, you know, and Edwin Encarnacion were here forever on team-friendly contracts and all that. But my argument was sometimes it's not bad having guys who are motivated, guys who are playing for money, guys, especially in next year's free agent class, guys who stand to make a killing. Now, I'm not saying Jose Bautista is going to be out of work, but, man, I'll tell you, I expected Bautista and Edwin this year to be just to be on fire the whole year. And I know the game doesn't always work that way. Yep. There's a lot of money at stake here. And how surprised are you at their start in particular? You know, because I think Tulowitzki, Martin, there may be some different things at work there. But I expected certainly Bautista.
Yeah.
I thought he'd want to go out and just seize this market, you know, by the neck.
Well, two things. I am surprised that Bautista is not doing better. But I also don't know if I attribute it to him being in the last year of the contract.
Okay.
And in fact, I don't think I do.
Okay.
What it is, there's A leads to B and B leads to C, the transitive property back from my old geeky math days.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if we can do that in this case. It's a narrative that's right in front of us, right? It's hard to ignore it. So I think a lot of people latch onto it, but I can't say for certain whether it is or whether it isn't. I mean, you guys know him as well as I do, if not better. He is among the most supremely confident people that you will ever meet in your life. And I don't think whether he gets 4 years or 5 years or $22 million or $25 million is going to keep him away at night, keep him awake at night. Part of the problem is there aren't as many men on base. They don't have teams in trouble. They don't have pitchers nervous out on the mound like they did last year. I mean, there's been a lot of nothing going on. Another thing that doesn't get talked about a lot, sometimes whether you're a good team or a bad team offensively has to do with what you do just with men on base or runners in scoring position. I looked it up about an hour ago. They're hitting .227 with runners in scoring position this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox are hitting .305.
Yep.
So the Red Sox have scored 50 more runs than the Blue Jays have just with runners in scoring position.
Mm.
And on the season, the Red Sox have scored 68 more runs than the Blue Jays. So 50 of the 68 have come with runners in scoring position.
Although I don't know what that, it's one of those things where you kind of say, so what's that mean?
It just means they're not getting the job done. Now, over the next 2 months, it could be exactly the opposite. You know, the sabermetricians will tell you there's no such thing as a clutch hitting team. It's a random thing. You can be good, you can be bad, and eventually you'll regress to the mean with very rare exceptions. I'm going to get every math term in today, by the way.
I love it when the actuary comes out,
You know what? If my dad and my mom are listening, I need to justify the expense they spent on my education.
They're thinking it's not too late, Danny. You can still go back and get that square job, buddy.
You can still be successful.
My dues are showing up at a meeting a long time. I think what it means is they're not hitting well in general, and they're really not hitting well with men on base. And it's just, I don't think there's a reason you can attach to it other than I think they knew sometimes, and we all saw this in the last couple of months, you could look out to the mound and you could see the situation and you just knew they were in trouble, that everybody in the ballpark knew there was no way that pitcher could get that next Blue Jay hitter out. Now the expectation is how many men will they leave on? Who will strike out with two men on base? It just, the whole vibe is different right now.
You know, and again, talking about the walk here guys, because there's a bunch of them on this team, and I agree with you about Jose. You know, like he's not a guy whose confidence is easily shaken.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. Jeff and I were talking about this off air this morning. How many dollars has Brett Cecil cost himself this year? This is a guy who hasn't been paid, right?
Yeah.
This is his shot. Middle relievers are getting paid like crazy now.
Yeah.
He's an elite guy, and now he's on the DL. But wouldn't that play on your head if you're Brett Cecil thinking this is my chance to make some dough?
Yeah, I think that's much more likely in terms of the kind of career and the place of his career that he's at compared to Bautista, and possibly the personality as well. And I think, forgive me, Storen, I think, is a free agent.
He is, yeah.
As well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about if they go out and have lights-out years, if they match the best year that they've had, Cecil's probably in that, three-year, $18 million category. I mean, that's what good setup relievers are getting now. Storen maybe even more because he's had some experience as a closer. There's no doubt the two of them are costing them. And Drew Storen looks as unhappy to me as a professional athlete can look right now. He looks to me like, damn, I wish I wasn't here, and damn, I wish that trade hadn't happened, and this is a mess. He just can't get through an outing unscathed, it seems like. Like, even last night, he comes in to mop up in a 10-2 game, guy on base, a couple of outs, and then he gives up a home run to a guy who had never hit a home run in the major league home run. So, I mean, he just, nothing is going right for him right now. And it's hard to imagine that one turning around. And maybe it can. Maybe it can go 180 degrees. But even if the offense gets, and I think, again, Stephen, in your column you said, if they can get back to 80% of what they were, 80% of what they were last year is pretty good, is probably good enough to help them be a contender. But if you don't get outs in the seventh and eighth inning, you don't win. You don't win in baseball right now. And whether it's Floyd or Chavez or Storen or Cecil or whomever, if you don't get outs in the seventh and eighth inning, you're not playing in October.
Yep.
And, you know, that's a great point. I mean, the way teams are constructed now, teams are constructed to have lights-out bullpens. Their successful teams are trying to have lights-out bullpens late in game, guys who can come in and strike guys out. You know, Kevin Barker made a point on Baseball Central last week, and I bounced it off John Gibbons, and, you know, he just said he's not at that point yet. But, Dan, at what point do you look at this lineup and say, you know, maybe we move Donaldson down into the third spot, move Batiste up into the second spot, change it up a bit?
I think this is not having spoken to anybody about this. I think there's a concern that maybe you're dealing with some strong and, in some cases, complicated personalities.
True.
And what, regardless of what the message you're trying to send is, how will the message be received? At some point, I agree with you. I think you've got to try something. I don't know how much you can change. And just switching Batiste and Donaldson, I mean, in itself, is that enough? Would Bautista take it as a demotion, even though many teams hit their best hitter in the two spot, whether it's Donaldson, whether it's Mike Trout, whoever the case may be? But I agree with you. If something's not working, you got to try something different. And as old as baseball is, managers have said, you know what, I gave him a mental health day because he just needed a break, or I moved him down in the order just to try it out. And you ride the wave. You change something, and if it works, you keep going. You know, what worries me is I think there's a lot of emphasis being placed on Devin Travis coming back. And that's not fair. It's not right, and it's not fair. You know, he's been out for a year, and he's not a savior, and who knows how healthy he'll be and how effective he'll be, and if he'll even be an everyday player. I don't think he can change everything. I think they're at the point where I agree I would change something. I don't think I would just post a different lineup. I think I would have a little meeting and say, guys, it ain't going like it's supposed to go, so we're just going to try something new just to see if it works. You know, this isn't aimed negatively or positively at anybody, but we got to do something different here. So, but yeah, I think I would change it up, but I don't know how drastic the changes can be in the lineup. You're not going to, you know, you're not dropping a two or a three hitter to six or seven. I mean, your two could go to three, three could go to four, something like that. But they got six out of nine guys not hitting right now, so I think they can make some cosmetic changes, but I don't know if it can be drastic.
Well, which brings us to the natural, you know, the cosmetic change that many teams make. The knee-jerk thing that many organizations do in a situation like that is they fire the manager.
Right.
And, you know, we've got this series coming up. They've got Minnesota coming up on the weekend, Danny. You were terrible.
Yeah. And then the Yankees, I think, soon.
And then an off day, and then the Yankees.
Yep.
So I'm thinking that in terms of – and again, Jeff and I have been really clear about this. It's not John Gibbons' fault.
Nope.
And I have – you know, I might second-guess a couple of things he's done this year, but by and large, I think he's done exactly what I would have done and anybody would have done with this team. But that doesn't matter. You know, fairness is not how this works sometimes. And I'm wondering if we're – you know, that stretch of games, Minnesota and the Yankees, if things don't turn, that seems to me to be a kind of an obvious pressure point in terms of John Gibbons.
I think it's possible. I mean, John Gibbons is a smart baseball man. He's been around a long time. And I agree with you. There are two things I know for sure. One is this is not John Gibbons' fault. And two is when a new president and GM come in, the incumbent manager knows that, you know, the ice isn't quite as thick under him as it was before. I think it's possible. It feels to me like it's a little bit early. I mean, the other thing is, if they don't play well, this team could be tremendously different next year than it is right now. Not subtly different, tremendously different, in my opinion, than it is next year. And do you want to know what the makeup of your team is before you go out and get your manager? Or are we all kidding ourselves and Eric Wedge is the guy, which, you know, has been denied, but you know, who knows how that'll play out. It feels a little early to me, Stephen, but it wouldn't shock me if it happened.
Well, because, you know, again, if this turns into a bit of a lost season, then I guarantee you the team will be dramatically different. It's going to be dramatically different by the last day in July.
You've got two guys with 10-5, so
yeah. If you can persuade them, you know,
if you can persuade Bautista and Encarnacion, then they would be traded. If not, they would be elsewhere next year. You know, Cecil and Storn in the last year of their contracts, they would be traded or
Dickey elsewhere next year. Dickey as well.
Dickey will be gone, yeah. So
it's a lot of guys.
A lot of guys. I mean, Tulowitzki and Martin aren't going anywhere. They have big contracts, and they have several years left on those contracts. So, but, yeah, I agree with you. If the worse the team does this year, the more the more changes will be made next year, and I think there could be huge turnover next year. But you know, if they ran off eight in a row starting tonight, would that shock anybody? You know, they're a difficult team to put your finger on right now, and they were for 101 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that they could contend this year. But man, they got to start hitting back. They're not even close to being close right now.
All right, hey Danny, before we let you run, I want to ask you about the suspensions that came about as a result of Sunday's altercation in Texas. I'm not surprised by anything. The one thing that did surprise me a little bit is I'm still trying to figure out why Jose Bautista was suspended.
I agree.
Is that retroactive? The bat flip. That's the only thing. And look, you know, and Joe Torre, and I'll credit John Gibbons for saying this. Joe Torre is a tough job when he sits down to do this because he's got to look at precedent. He's got to look at setting a precedent and perhaps things that have already happened. But I don't know. Sliding into second hard and getting punched in the face, I guess it gets you game suspension.
Raising his hands after a guy shoves him in the chest who's about to clock him.
Yeah, you
know, that's kind of what he did.
Right. I mean, maybe I don't know if the appeal will be upheld or not, but I agree with you. The slide in and of itself is not a suspendable offense. That's what the double play is for. They penalized them by calling smoke out at first base. Getting up and glaring at Odor, maybe they said that incited things a little bit. Like, all in all, if he got one game, I think from a Blue Jay perspective, you say, okay, it's not ideal, but it's fine. I think they caught a bit of a break in that Pilar didn't get anything. I thought Pilar was going to get something.
Yep.
And to me, Odor should get 10, not 8. And the other thing is, I think Matt Bush has to get something.
Yeah.
Maybe not 3, because I understand there's a difference before warnings and after warnings. And at some point, the smart men on the committee need to sit down and look at the whole warnings situation.
Agreed.
Because it seems to cause more trouble than it avoids. And I think something needs to. But in my mind, if Chavez got 3, fine. Bush gets 2.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, do the Blue Jays really care if Matt Bush gets suspended? No. I think Odor should have gotten a little bit more. Yeah, Bautista probably got 1, shouldn't have gotten any, but I thought Pilar could have gotten a couple. I mean, he was out there throwing haymakers, and I don't blame him for that. That's the worst fight that I've seen. Remember the Cincinnati-St. Louis one?
Yes.
I think it was Johnny Cueto.
It was Johnny Cueto, right?
That was a fight. This is the worst fight I've seen since then that I can recall. And I think baseball did a pretty good job, but, you know, could have done better than they did.